Hello, it's Thursday, May 14th, and this is Israel in 10, the Misgav Daily Brief. I'm Nora Sellier in Tel Aviv. The mysterious case of Prime Minister Netanyahu's alleged secret visit to the United Arab Emirates. His office announced it last night. Abu Dhabi says it never happened. What does that tell us about ties between Israel and one of its closest regional allies? Plus, Jerusalem Day begins at sunset. I'll be speaking with Jerusalem's former deputy mayor, senior Misgav fellow and Israel trade envoy Fleur Hassan Nahum about the history and meaning of Yom Yerushalayim. You'll hear our conversation in a moment, but first the headlines. President Trump and President Xi have begun talks in Beijing. Trump wants China, the biggest buyer of Iranian oil, to pressure Tehran into reopening the Strait of Hormuz. Meanwhile, new data from Tanker Tracker shows Iran has been unable to export crude oil for 4 weeks now due to the US naval blockade. Iran's foreign minister is in New Delhi seeking to rally BRICS partners against American sanctions. Abbas Araghchi is promoting Iran's so-called Hormuz Protocol, which would formalize Iranian control over the strategic waterway. He also called on BRICS nations to help, in his words, shatter the West's sense of security. The United Arab Emirates has denied hosting a secret visit by Prime Minister Netanyahu earlier this year. The Prime Minister's office made the claim publicly last night. Unlike former Prime Ministers Naftali Bennett and Yair Lapid, Netanyahu has never openly visited the UAE. Iran claims it was aware of the alleged visit, though Tehran has not explained why it waited until Israel acknowledged it publicly before commenting. More details are emerging about Saudi Arabia's involvement in the war with Iran. Reuters reports that Saudi forces struck Iranian-backed militia in Iraq, while additional strikes were launched from Kuwait in response to missile and drone attacks. The reports point to a broader but largely hidden Gulf campaign against Iranian proxies during the conflict. President Trump's Board of Peace will not exclude Hamas from the political process in Gaza. The lead diplomat on the board, Nikolai Mladenov, said Hamas can take part but must completely disarm. He also said Trump's 20-point plan includes a pathway to Palestinian statehood. Lebanon has denied reports it filed a formal complaint against Iran at the United Nations. The Saudi outlet Al Arabiya claims Beirut accused Tehran of violating Lebanese sovereignty and for dragging the country into war. Hours later, though, Lebanon's foreign ministry publicly denied the report. Jerusalem Day celebrations are underway with the annual flag march expected to draw thousands, culminating in a mass gathering and prayer service at the Western Wall. The day marks Israel's success in ending 19 years of Jordanian occupation. Meanwhile, new figures from Nefesh B'Nefesh show Jerusalem remains the number one destination for North American immigrants to Israel. More than 200 new Olim have arrived in the capital since the start of this year. Before we get to today's conversation, a reminder, you can sponsor the Misgav Daily Brief. Just contact us at misgavdailybrief@gmail.com. Now here's Fleur Hassan Nahum. Let's jump straight in with Prime Minister Netanyahu's secret visit to the United Arab Emirates. Has he put the Emiratis in a bit of a difficult position here?
He may have. You know, I think that Israel has a national disease of leaking when sometimes we should be quiet and just get the work done. There's obviously a reason why the Emiratis are not responding well. They're probably annoyed about it. I just think sometimes it's better to be discreet. But who am I?
And we are getting lots of reports, bits and pieces about what the Emiratis did during the war and even the Saudis as well. What does that tell us about this kind of secretive relationship between Israel and the states in the Gulf?
Well, I don't think there's a secretive nature, but when you're fighting a war and you're on the same side, then it is perfectly natural to strategize, perfectly natural to see how everybody can help each other. And Israel, in this case, of course, with its very sophisticated air defense technology, is ripe to help our allies. The Emiratis have been wonderful. They've been the people to first sign the Abraham Accords, not an easy thing in the Arab world. They got a lot of recrimination from it after October 7th and everything and the whole entire Islamist propaganda coming out. And they held strong. Trade has, you know, gone up, continue to go up by double digits every single year. We are very grateful for that friendship. And I think that the future is a new realignment of the region with Sunni moderate Arab countries such as the UAE and, please God, a free Iran.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about something a little bit closer to home. Today is Jerusalem Day, Yom Yerushalayim, when we remember the liberation and the reunification of the city. Just tell us what it means for you and what it means for Jews around the world.
You know, Jerusalem is not just the capital of the state of Israel. Jerusalem is the capital of the Jewish people all around the world. It's not just that Jerusalem is the capital of the Jewish people, but we became a united people and not a tribal people here in Jerusalem. The city itself, that unification in neutral territory, which is what King David foresaw as what he had to do to unite the tribes, that in itself made us a people. And so I think it should be much bigger holiday than it is. It's reserved at the moment for school children in Jerusalem or for a small sector of the population in Israel. We should actually make it into a bigger thing. We should continue to strengthen the standing of Jerusalem. We should encourage and push all the countries in the world to move their embassies here because this is our capital and our people have the right to choose our own capital.
Do you see that happening in the next few years, more countries moving their embassies to Jerusalem?
We have a few countries every year moving their embassies. We just had the amazing announcement of Javier Milei moving the Argentinian embassy. Of course, the most important embassy is already here, the United States embassy, some embassies from Latin America that I'm very close to, Guatemala, Honduras, Paraguay. We have innovation offices for Ecuador and Uruguay. So there is a movement, a slow trickle of people understanding that in whichever arrangement you look at in the future, Jerusalem will always remain the capital of the state of Israel, as it always has been for thousands of years.
It is a very historic and symbolic city, but some people say it's quite difficult to live there.
Look, I think that we've all passed the test of living in Israel in difficult times. I actually think that during this last few years, it's been quieter here than anywhere else. It's not an easy city, but I don't think anywhere is particularly easy in this country. It's a very diverse city. Unfortunately, because of socioeconomic issues of the ultra-Orthodox and the Arab community with low workforce participation numbers, it is the poorest city in the country. But in my time in City Hall, we worked very hard on economic development. The numbers are going in the right direction, and please God, we'll continue in that way.
You are a fearless advocate for Israel on the world stage. And we just heard Prime Minister Netanyahu talking about the narrative war in that interview he gave to CBS News. Have you seen anything shifting recently, or is the international media still as hostile as ever?
It couldn't be more hostile when you have people inventing absurdities and passing it off as news in the New York Times, or photographs about lies about starving children getting the Pulitzer Prize. I think it's getting worse, but maybe it has to get worse before it gets better, before the media has a reckoning as to the fact that they're not reporting the news anymore. They're basically reporting an agenda and propaganda. And the agenda and propaganda may not necessarily be just anti-Israel. I think it's also anti-Western values. Anybody who looks at the news, I was just in America, would think that Israel and the US are losing this war. It's ridiculous. And so I think there will be a media reckoning. At the moment, they're all acting like the Joseph Goebbels school of propaganda.
Well, yeah, just one headline is in the FT saying the Abraham Accords could be the main casualty of the war with Iran.
Even though we're on the same side and all of us being attacked, Bahrain and the UAE and Saudi, which was about to sign the Abraham Accords just before October 7th. And that's why October 7th happened when it did. All these countries will end up being regional allies of Israel under the umbrella of the United States. And it's going to be a brand new world after the people of Iran free themselves from the yoke of the Islamic dictators.
That's it. That's your Israel in 10. Subscribe using the link below. It just takes a few seconds. Goodbye.